as you all know, your friends are going through that second Peter, and we're just listening to this amazing fisherman as he was inspired by God to write these words. And what we have seen in chapter 1, and if you do want to open your Bibles there, 2 Peter, and we're in chapter 1. What we have seen, friends, over the previous three Sundays together is simply two things. Peter has shown us, first of all, what God has done for us. And he has stressed that. In summary, we have seen that God has given us everything we need for life. Whatever you need for life, God has given you. He's given you some wonderful and precious promises. It was God who called you to come to Christ. It wasn't a decision you made. It wasn't some massive turning point that came about through you. No. God called you. And God elected you. So what Peter wants us to know, we are overwhelmed, dear friends, at the mercy of God. We sang this morning, how lavish your grace and how faithful your ways. That's what Peter wants us to know. Now, in response to that, what Peter has told us is that we respond with tremendous zeal, because now we want to add to what God has done. We want to add goodness, and we want to add self-control, and we want to add godliness, and we want to add perseverance, and we want to add brotherly kindness, and we want to add love. All these things, this is what we want to see in our lives, because we are so overwhelmed by God's grace to us. And then as we saw this morning, we respond by doing all we can to make our election and our calling sure. And the wonderful teaching of assurance. It's been the most moving passage from verse 1 to verse 11 that you will find in the New Testament. Some commentators go as far as to say it's perhaps the most glorious summary of the Christian life in the New Testament. And we have seen that. Now what I want to do with you this evening is verses 12 to verse 15. And what you're going to see this evening now is that Peter almost takes a breather here for a moment. And he's told us what God has done. He's shown us how we respond. Now he says this: there are three things that you must never forget. And those are the three things, if you don't mind, I want to leave with you tonight. Three, very simple, but very, very helpful truths. And you may remember or forget about a number of things, brothers and sisters. But there are three things you must never, ever forget. Number one, Peter tells us that we all have an imperfect memory. That's number one. Now, some people's memory is worse than others. But we've all got the same. Look at verse 12. So I will always remind you of these things, even though you know them and are fully established in the truth you now have. Just follow with me what Peter is saying. The old King James Version is actually a better translation on that. It says this: therefore, I will not be negligent. Isn't that interesting that Peter put that little phrase in. So what he's saying is, that's what God has done. That's what you have got to do. But now let me tell you what I am going to do. I don't want to be negligent of my responsibility. Because the responsibility that Peter saw was that he wanted to excite the Christians. He wanted to assist them so that they would be diligent in carrying out their duties. That's why you must forgive those of us who preach sometimes, whether it's John or Shane or myself or Tom or whoever it is. What's going to happen? We're going to say things over and over again that you all know. But you see, the reason why Peter says we must do that is because we must remind one another never, ever to stop doing the basics. See what he says? I will always remind you of these things. I'm never going to stop, friends. I'm going to remind you that God elected you. I'm going to remind you that God called you. I'm going to remind you that Jesus did everything for you on the cross. I'm going to remind you that you have been loved by a wonderful God. I'm going to remind you that if you want to make progress in the Christian life, it takes hard work. The harder you work, the more you give, the more you're involved, the more you grow. That's the way it is. The less you work, the less you do, the less you're going to grow. That's the way it is. Peter says, I'm not going to be negligent. I'm going to keep on reminding you of these things. It's interesting to also just notice there that there's nothing new. There's no new revelation. There's nothing that you've never heard. It's all old. God has given us, as you know, everything we need to know in this book. And by the year 375, when the canon of Scripture was finalized, there's a front page and there's a back page. Everything is in the book. Isn't that wonderful? It's complete. And it's absolutely sufficient. We don't need to look for new revelation. We don't need to look for new ideas. We don't need to look for something out of the ordinary. No, it's not that. It's all old. It's all in the book. The implication of that, friends, is quite strong. Michael Green put it in his words when he said, this is a solemn warning. Because it's all too easy for those who have been true Christians for a long time to lapse into sin, even doctrinal error. And that's what could happen to someone here tonight. It could happen. You may have been a Christian for a long, long time, but you could grow cold. You could wander away from Christ if you don't listen. See? So what Peter is saying is fantastic. It's important. I'm going to keep on reminding you of what God has done and of how we respond to God with zeal and with passion. So please don't forget that you've got an imperfect memory. And therefore, some days you're going to wake up and drift off to school, or drift off to varsity, or get into work, and you're not going to read your Bible. You're going to get into bed at night and you're still going to read the Bible, and you haven't prayed. You've got a weak memory. You've got to keep on reminding yourself. Let's stir one another. Please help me. We must stir one another. keep on growing and keep on laboring for Christ. Well, there's number one. Let's have a look at the second thing we must never forget in the next verse. He says, because I know that I will soon put it aside as our Lord Jesus Christ has made clear to me. So the second thing is, friends, we've got an impermanent life. We've got an impermanent life. In God's amazing grace and unbelievable patience, I've had the opportunity to be in the ministry for, what, about 35 years now. But there's some things that I can never forget. I'll never forget one day, one of our youth, our young girls, she was 15. We were down in Cape Town at the time, and she was with all the youth on the sand dunes. And they were in a buggy. And she was going up and down the sand dunes and having the time of her life when the car flipped and she was gone. 15. You see, what Peter is saying is this. You don't know if you're going to be here tomorrow. That's the truth. I don't know if I'm going to be here tomorrow. I hope so. Hey, I love my work. I know I'm going to keep going for a while. But I don't know. I had a wonderful granny. I led her to the Lord and she was about 75, I would think. She stayed here in Durban. But when she got into the 90s, she had a terrible stroke. And all she wanted was to die. She was ready. She knew Jesus. And I keep on saying, you see, it happens in God's timing. But remember, friends, life is impermanent. You cannot bank on tomorrow. Now, why is Peter telling us this? Not to be negative. No, I don't want to be negative at all. But to drive us to diligence. And to show us the great urgency of our work. And to enable us to set the right priorities. That's why he's doing it. I love Michael Green's writings. He says, and yet Peter speaks of this in such a glorious way, apparently without fear or regret. Your life is impermanent. And therefore, my friends, for you and I, make sure your priorities are right. Make sure that one day when that call comes to you and you stand before Christ, you're not embarrassed. Or you're not ashamed as to how you live your life. Because when you stand before Jesus, it doesn't really matter how much money you've made. It doesn't really matter how you scored in varsity. But it does matter. How did you grow with Christ? That's what does matter. It does matter whether you are soundly converted. And it does matter how you use your gifts. And it does matter how you use your talents. And it does matter at the priorities. It does matter. And so today, come and visit my little study. I love that little study. It's a little home for me. I've got pictures and books. And I've got a little coffee mug right next to my desk. And I've never yet poured a cup of coffee in yet. But a Bible study gave it to me and it simply says on this mug, live today as if it is the last day of your life. And that's a challenge to me. So I ask you with absolute love and deep humility, if you had to go today on the way out, what would Jesus say of your life? When you stand before him, what is he going to say? Would he look back at your life and remember the day when you gave your life to him? Would he look back over your life and you've been faithful and you've served him? Would you want to to just hide because your spiritual life has been a shambles. Well, says Peter, let me help you. Let me remind you that you've got an imperfect memory. So I'm going to keep on going over the great things of the Bible. I'm not going to tell you anything new. There's no fantastic stuff. It's just the plain old teaching of Scripture. I'm going to keep on reminding you. I want to stir you up so that you may grow and blossom. That's what I want to do. Remember that your life is impermanent. And Peter knew this. He was in his early 60s. He had a little while to live. And they were going to take him, the Romans were going to take him out of their prison. And they were going to crucify him upside down on a cross. It was just ahead of him. Our lives, friends, are impermanent. Don't waste a day. Don't waste a second. And then lastly, and just number three, then we'll have some coffee. An impressive record. Look how he closes. You see verse 15 has such challenging words. And I will make every effort to see that after my departure, you will always be able to remember these things. I read it again. I will make every effort to see that after my departure, you will always be able to remember these things. The question is, how on earth is that possible? When Peter was put to death by the Romans and he went into heaven, how would you and I and the people of that day remember what he taught? Well, of course, he did it right. And there were two things, weren't there? The first thing is, he wrote 1 and 2 Peter. And really, he was the author of Mark's Gospel. Mark wrote it, but Peter inspired it. So that was the first thing, that he made sure that when he left, Mark's Gospel was in place. And his great epistles of 1 and 2 Peter, writing in the 2nd century, a man by the name of Papias said, Mark, having been Peter's translator, he wrote accurately, I'm not able in order, as much as he remembered of the things that were said and done by Jesus. For he was concerned for one thing only, not to omit any of the things that he had heard, or to falsify anything in them. So Peter says, when I go, there's a record. And it's written in here. Oh, I love the Bible, friend. It's the greatest treasure we have. Every day when you and I open the Bible, we listen to the very Word of God. What an unbelievable privilege to read it and obey it. That was the first thing. But what is the second? Peter said, I made every effort to leave behind you a record so that you'll never forget what I've taught you. What is that record? His life. The testimony of his life. Now I want to give you three illustrations and then we're finished. The one was my dad. I battle in most things in life, but when I try to do my doctorate, and who am I going to dedicate this little piece of work to? There's only one man that I could dedicate. I said, I'm going to dedicate it to my dad. Because his life was a canon to me. You know what that means? A canon. That means a focus point, a reference point. How do I treat my wife? Remember dad. The way he treated mom. How do I look after my kids? treated me? How do I treat people that are lousy to you? Remember, Dad. So tell them to me. Peter says, I worked hard to produce a lifestyle that would help you to remember how to live as a Christian. It was in the year 1869, it's the second illustration that took me. His name was Stanley, you all have heard of him, the famous Agent Stanley. He was an absolute atheist who worked for the New York Times. And the owner of the New York Times said to this man, I want you to go and find Dr. Livingstone, who had been lost in Africa. And he pumped a lot of money into that expedition. David Livingstone had won the world, but he had disappeared. There was rumors spreading across that he had been killed, which were absolutely wrong. But Stanley said, that's what I want. And he left America, and he came to our continent, and he looked for Livingstone. And I'm going to quote to you what he wrote. Can I do that? It's quite moving. Pulls the heartstrings. He says this, I found Dr. Livingstone, and I was with him for 5 months. I went to him as prejudiced as the biggest atheist in London. To a reporter and a correspondent like I was, who had only to deal with wars and mass meetings and political gatherings or sentimental matters, these were entirely out of my province. But there came to me a time of reflection. I was out there in Africa, away from a worldly world, and I saw this old man there. I said to myself, how can he keep going? Is he cracked? For what? What inspires him? For months, I found myself listening to him, wondering at this old man, carrying out all that was written in the Bible, leave everything and follow me. But little by little, his sympathy for other people became contagious, and my sympathy became aroused. Seeing his piety and his gentleness, his zeal, and his earnestness, and how he went about his business, I was converted. Even though Livingstone had not even tried to do it. Isn't that magnificent? An atheist is converted. Just looking at this man. You see, Peter says, I worked hard at my life. With all our sinfulness, because I wanted to leave behind you a model for you to follow. Like Stanley found when he came to Africa and looked for Livingstone. And the last illustration was George Mueller. Some of you have read George Mueller. These men are in the library. That's great reading. He developed a great love for little boys who were orphans, and he opened what we call the Granada homes in England. He would feed 2,000, 3,000, 4,000 little boys every day, and he never had a cent or a penny. And he did it absolutely by faith. And one day somebody came up to him and asked the great George Mueller, what's the secret? And these were his words, and I quote. He says, you know, there was a day when I died. Utterly died. I died to George Mueller. His opinions, his preferences, his tastes, and his will. life changer. And he died to the approval or blame even of his fellow Christians and friends. And since then, I have studied only one thing. To show myself approved unto God. Oh, I wish I could say that. And I die for people to say, he did. He followed me. Livingston did it. George Miller did it. My dad got it right. And so Peter says, don't forget. You got an imperfect memory? All I'm going to do is remind you what you must do. Don't be lazy. Work hard. Developing a godly lifestyle. Don't forget your life is impermanent. It's going to last forever. Get your priorities in line. Make sure you're always ready for Jesus. And leave behind a record that our friends, our family, our kids, that's all we're going to be. Should we pray? Oh God, our Father, we fall so short. I know my own life one falls very short. But these are challenging words. And I pray that for each of us here tonight, and Lord, in a day where we are constantly being called to go here and go there and do this and do that, that you will help us to be disciplined. Help us, Lord, to work hard at adding to what you have so graciously done for us in Jesus, to producing a Christian life that leads people to Christ without any word being spoken. Please help us to leave behind an impressive record. Not to worry about what the world thinks is important. And so we just thank you today for the Bible and these challenging words. Ask you to be with us now as we share some coffee together. Just chat over these things. And Lord, if it's your will for us to be here next week, bring us back with a great longing to love Christ and to live for Christ and Him alone. And we ask it in His precious name. Amen.